Welcome to Financial Freedom, God's Way Radio. This is where you are going to continue to learn, apply, and to pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but will thrive even during these uncertain times. Hi, and hello again, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries. And as always, well, it is an absolute honor and a privilege to have you with us here again. It really is. Now, what is going to be on our schedule for our 30-minute radio time today? First of all, during our radio seminar segment, we're going to wrap up talking about our 7-step process to move out of financial bondage and into financial freedom. It's going to be a great time together, I promise. Then, we're going to follow up the radio seminar with a couple of real-world questions from real-world people that will help bring out the points we talked about in the seminar. Next, fortunately, we're going to hear from the Better Business Bureau again. We're going to see what they have to say about a new online selling scam. You see, the closer we get to the holidays, the more the scammers are going to be out there. You're going to learn what another one is today and how to avoid it. And finally, we're going to spend yet another great minute with Maxwell. As the New York Times best-selling Christian author and speaker and leadership coach John Maxwell is going to focus on the word proceed. So stay tuned, won't you? It's going to be a great time together, I promise. And as we start, well, let me pray for us. Father, thank you for meeting with us again today. Please give us ears to hear all that it is that you have planned for us to your glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, during our previous radio seminar times together, you discovered that God's plan for each one of us has everything to do about financial peace and absolutely nothing to do with financial bondage. And you also discovered that financial peace can best be described according to Proverbs 10:22, which says, "It is the blessing of the Lord that brings wealth, and He adds no trouble to it." Now, simply put, my friend, we can know what it's like to have financial freedom when we combine our salvation with all that God places into our care and custody, along with His peace. That is what financial freedom is, but how do we get it? Well, we have already discovered that the first of the 7 steps along the path to financial freedom, well, it has to be to get into His Word. We need to become involved with the spiritual disciplines to hear, read, memorize, meditate, and study the Word of God. That's the first step. The second step is to acknowledge or to reaffirm before God that everything that you have belongs to Him. He is the owner. You are not the owner. You are a steward or a manager. And recall, we talked about that 3x5 commitment card, right? The one you fill out and put on your refrigerator, or maybe that physical inventory that you take on a regular basis. Step number 3 is to pray. Isaiah 55:8-9 tells us this: "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Step number 3 is to pray, to get His thoughts. Number 4 is we need to create a biblical balance in our life by setting and managing the major priorities of our life. Now recall, there is absolutely no way we can ever manage time. Mm-mm. You see, time keeps on ticking regardless of how we lead our lives. Therefore, managing our priorities is the only answer to maximizing the time that we have. And to be able to maximize them, you got to know what they are. You got to set them. We talked about that. And step 4 is to turn to our work, our profession, over to the Lord. Why? So that He can help us better keep our lives disciplined, organized, and balanced. Are you with me? Well, I bet you are. And remember, you can always go back to our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. You can go back to the website and replay this program as a podcast, okay? They are going up now, and the descriptions will be in there soon, but you'll be able to go back and to listen to them, okay? All right, so let's wrap up our seven-step approach the Lord has in mind to move us from where we are to where He would have us to be, to move us from financial bondage into financial freedom. Step number five, have a clear conscience. You see, my friend, Jesus teaches us that conflicts that we have in our life, they need to be resolved. And He shows us in Matthew 18:15 and 5:24 exactly how to resolve them in a way that does not hurt the body of Christ and is pleasing to God. Now, this may not be a particularly pleasant process when you try and resolve conflicts, because there usually is going to be hurt pride involved, right? If you've ever been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And as a matter of fact, we're told in the Proverbs to own up to our shortcomings, correct? To confess our sins. This, my friend, means that we need to develop a spirit of humility. So basically, step number five, which is to have a clear conscience, can be summed up nicely by Acts 24:16. This is what Acts 24:16 has to say. So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. Do you want to begin to know what it is like to begin to enjoy financial freedom God's way? Do you? Well, then you need to act in such a way as to keep your conscience clear before God and man, which is, well, it's step number five down the road to financial freedom God's way. Step number six. Step number six is simply to avoid indulgences. Luke 9:23, Jesus says this, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And in John 6:27, Jesus instructs us not to work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures. Now, recall that an indulgence is something that has very little, if any, utility. We are to first prayerfully identify the indulgences that are up and operating in our life, and then we need to prayerfully work to control them. Having said that, you got to know that working to control our indulgences does not necessarily mean we're going to eliminate them. For example, overspending, for example, that's a problem many of us have. Okay, generally, you tend to overspend. Anyone tends to overspend by impulse buying when they're shopping, right? So, what's the fix? Well, the husband says, "Okay, we're going to fix that. We're just not going to we're going to cut all shopping, right? Going to cut it all out." But listen, as any wife will tell you, shopping can be a major form of entertainment recreation in our society today. Now, remember, do you remember back when we talked about how to get rid of a bad habit? First of all, what do? We have to identify that bad habit, and then we replace it with a good habit, correct? Remember that? If you identify impulse buying as a bad habit, true, you can eliminate all shopping, but you can also choose to replace impulse buying by establishing the habit to base your spending on your budget, and thoroughly discuss major purchases before you buy. You know, my friend, I have to tell you from personal experience, I've never been inside a shopping mall yet, and I've been inside quite a few with my wife. I've never been inside a shopping mall yet that if you were ever to walk out of that mall without buying anything, you'd find that buzzers and whistles and sirens go off, all right, to let everybody know you were there, but you didn't buy. No, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. But you know what we often do? We go shopping and we feel obligated that we need to get something, so folks think that we had a purpose for shopping. Yeah, well, we got to be careful of that kind of attitude. So step number six is to avoid indulgences. And finally, step number 7, the last step along God's path to financial freedom, is to learn to accept God's provision. I know we've already hit on this one just a little bit, but let's look at it again, okay? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and Philippians 4, 19, both speak to the fact that God will provide for us and he will not forsake us, okay? The question is, the question has to become then, do we trust God or do we just say that we trust God? You see, it's easy to say, I trust God, but it is something else to sit there out of work, you know, no income in sight, you know, bills to pay, food to buy, to feed your family, to sit there in those circumstances and believe that God is going to provide. That's a different set of deals. So unless we have been in that position and we have seen him act, we have seen him provide, listen, it may be easier to say that we trust God rather than actually trusting God. The final step along God's path to financial freedom is to learn to accept God's provision. All right? Okay, so there you have it. A 7-step Bible-based process to follow and find God's path to financial freedom. Now recall, step 1 is to get into God's word to see what he has to say about finances. And remember, he has quite a lot to say about finances. Step 2 is to make sure you recognize and act on the fact that God's the owner and your job is to manage or to steward all that he gives you. Step 3 is to pray. That's where we as the manager can go back to the owner and ask him what he wants us to do with all that he's given us. Step number 4 is to set and manage priorities in our life. Remember, we don't manage time, we manage our priorities. Step number 5 is to have and keep a clear conscience. Number 6, to avoid indulgences. And finally, step number 7 is learn to accept God's provision. Now, you may already be working on one or any more of these 7 steps to financial freedom, and any one or more of these just might take you the rest of your life to come to grips with. So let me give you a suggestion, okay? Let me share with you a personal opinion. I really believe that financial freedom is as much a journey as it is a destination. As a matter of fact, I got to believe it's probably more of a journey than it is a destination. So what you need to do is to consider these 7 steps as tools to help you manage the journey. You see, most of us, we're not going to find true freedom this side of seeing Jesus Christ face to face. We're just not going to get there. However, these steps are going to give us the tools to respond to the difficult times we know that we can expect as we walk with the Lord, okay? But one other thing, there are some other things that we can do better as we head down the path to financial freedom. Let me give you yet one other personal opinion, okay? I got to believe that according to the Bible, God is much more concerned with the process that you follow than the product or the result. For example, the Bible says that it is an evil man who borrows and does not repay. In other words, the Bible tells us that it is important that we make every effort to honor our debts, to pay our bills. That is important to God, according to the Bible. But what is more important to God is the part that you give him to play in the process. You see, again, God is a process-oriented God. Yes, it is important to pay your creditors. Yes, it is important to properly manage the resources he gives you. Yes, it is important to move from step 1 down through the other steps toward financial freedom. Yes, but he is a process God. What is important is the part you give him to play in the process. So again, think of financial freedom more of a process, not as an end result. Think of financial freedom as a journey, not a destination. What is the most important thing to God? Well, the part that you give him to play as you manage the journey. Now let's kind of add to what it is the Lord gave us during our radio seminar time together by taking a look at a great real-world question from a real-world person. Okay? All right, here is the question. Bob, I started a small business out of my home several years ago, and it's now grown into full-time work, and my husband would like to quit his job to help me. Now, Bob, since this business, well, it sells primarily to and through women, they will most often look to me as the boss. So my question is this. Is it scriptural for my husband to work for me? Wow. Sally, I got to tell you, that is a great, great question, and it is certainly important. I know not only in your relationship with your husband, but I got to believe there are an awful lot of people out there today that it's going to impact as well, particularly during these uncertain employment times, okay? And I have to tell you also that I don't mind saying that I prayerfully struggled a bit with this response, but let me share with you what the Lord gave me. What I found is that there are several examples in the Bible where husbands and wives work together outside the home. The one that comes to mind the soonest, the quickest, is, of course, Aquila and Priscilla in the New Testament, book of Acts. We find that Aquila and Priscilla work together as tent makers, okay? And then, according to the Old Testament book of Judges, there was a lady named Deborah who was a prophetess of God to the Israelites, and also she was the fourth and only female judge or leader of Israel mentioned in the Bible. And plus we know that she was married. So very clearly, she had authority over her husband outside the home, well, in the same way that maybe a female U.S. senator has authority over her husband as it relates to her profession. So what do we find? Well, we find that it is possible for a husband and wife to work together in business. Yes, it is. And for the wife to have authority over her husband outside the home. Now, one other point to consider. Are you listening? Listen, Sally. Genesis 2:24 defines your marriage relationship as a husband and wife becoming one person. Now, that means that a couple needs to ask themselves. You need to ask yourself along with your husband if you believe that you can fulfill that definition while working outside the home or in a home business. Now, here's what I suggest that you do to move through that process. Okay, let me give you three steps. Number one, first of all, I suggest you prayerfully determine together and record and write down the following. Okay, number one, record and write down the gifts and the skills and the abilities your husband can bring to your business. Number two, specific areas of responsibilities and who will have the ultimate authority under specific circumstances. Okay, that's number two. And then number three, prayerfully evaluate on a regular basis the effectiveness of your teamwork in your business and the impact it has on your home life, and then adjust one or the other or both as appropriate. And by the way, along the way, your husband and you just may want to talk to and get the advice of a certified Christian small business coach. So does the Bible say, is it scriptural for your husband to work for you? Is it scriptural for you and your husband to work in a business where you take the lead? I don't find that it's not, but it gives you some pretty stiff requirements, and that is to make sure that you maintain your one-person relationship with your husband inside the home. Great question. Okay, listen up, my friends. It's time for yet another scam alert. I'm sorry about that, but yes, it is. You see, if you want to sell something online, then you need to pay special attention for the next couple of minutes, okay? You see, I know and you know that selling items on online marketplaces like Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace, well, that can be an easy way to make some extra money and to get rid of some of the things that you don't need around the house. However, according to the Better Business Bureau, scammers are starting to use a clever trick to target sellers and then set up a phone number in the seller's name. Here's how it works. Here's how the scam works. Let's say that you Let's say that you list an item on an online marketplace and you get an immediate response from a potential buyer. Good news, right? Well, maybe not so much. The buyer claims to be very, very interested in your item, but he or she wants to make sure that you are legitimate. Okay, now that seems to make good sense. So what happens? The scammer is going to ask you for your phone number so they can text you a verification code. Then they instruct you to reply with a 6-digit code on the platform where you have the item listed. Now, all of this sounds reasonable, right? However, let me tell you what is really happening. The scammer is setting up a Google Voice number linked to your phone number. And if you send that verification code, the scammer will be able to complete the account setup. And then the scammer can use the phone number to conceal their identity. Or if a scammer gets your Google Voice verification code and other information about you, well, they can pretend to be you and open up new accounts in your name. Not a very pleasant picture, okay? Now, how can you sell online and avoid online seller marketing scams? Well, this is what the Better Business Bureau suggests. 3 different things, okay? First of all, guard your personal information. Makes intuitively good sense, right? I mean, you do not need to give someone your phone number to make a sale on an online marketplace. You don't have to do that. Be sure you know who you are speaking with before you share your phone number. Never give it out on your phone number. Never give your phone number out in public or on a social media post. Number one, watch for red flags. For example, avoid making transactions with people who offer you deals that sound too good to be true. For example, if you have an item on the marketplace for $50 and they offer you $75, there could be something wrong with this, okay? Or be careful of people who pressure you to make a deal too quickly. And finally, the third thing that you can do, well, you need to understand marketplace policies. Understand how the marketplaces work. Most online marketplaces encourage you not to take transactions outside the platform. You see, if somebody asks you to carry out a transaction elsewhere, well, that's a red flag. You need to be careful. You need to understand how your platform works, okay? How your platform uses and how they verify both sellers and buyers and stick to their guidelines, not the guideline of the person who wants to buy your product, okay? Yep. You see, as we get closer to the holiday season, you're going to expect to see this and a whole lot more of other scams popping up. So be prayerfully aware of how you buy and how you sell online. Okay, it is time again for one of my favorite times together with the Lord and you. It is time for another Minute with Maxwell. Now recall that John Maxwell is a number one New York Times best-selling Christian author and coach and speaker. And he is also considered the world's most influential leadership expert. Now, today, John's Minute with Maxwell is going to be all about the word advance. Advance. Let's take a listen.
Hi, John Maxwell here. I'm so glad you're with me on Minute with Maxwell as we continue our series on statements of strength during a crisis that we're in. I would encourage you again to let your friends know about Minute with Maxwell and help them to kind of maybe come alongside of us and just hear and receive a statement of strength that might help them and you to just be a little stronger in this adverse wind that we have. So I'm going to give you a quote of one of my favorite people, Jim Rohn. Jim said, "The difficulties you meet will resolve themselves as you advance." Those are the 3 key words. I'll say it again. The difficulties that you meet will resolve themselves as you advance. Proceed, and light will dawn and shine with increasing clearness on your path. You see, the problem is that most of us, during adversity, instead of proceeding and going forward, we stop, we freeze. That's just kind of a natural human tendency to say, oh my, what's happening? And instead of moving forward as we should, or advancing and learning and growing and developing, we have a tendency just to put everything on a hold and kind of cross our fingers and close our eyes and just kind of hope it all goes away, which it doesn't. One of my favorite teachings is what I call advanced attraction. Advanced attraction basically just simply says this. When you really know who you are and you know what you want, if you proceed, if you advance, if you move, then people, resources, opportunities will begin to flow to you. But they only flow to the person who moves. They don't flow to the person who waits, stops, holds on. You have to advance. I know that. Jim Rohn knows that. So let's do it. What do you say? Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Oh, wow. What another great teaching. Today's statement of strength. Listen, the difficulties you meet will resolve themselves as you practice. So what do we need to do? We need to proceed, okay? We need to proceed. And the light will dawn and shine with increasing clearness on our path. What John is telling us is that persistence and resilience only are going to come from having given the chance to work through difficult problems. We are to advance, not stand still, but advance, according to John Maxwell. That is a good word from John Maxwell. Boy, oh boy, I'm telling you, this has been another great time together in the Lord. It really has. And let's begin to wrap up. Let's begin to wrap up by first taking a quick look back, okay? And as we do, you're going to recall that during our radio seminar time together, we finished up our times talking about a 7-step process the Lord and you can take to move you out of financial bondage and into financial freedom. And remember, along the way, if you need to listen to the broadcast again, you can do that by going to our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. All right? And then during our Q&A time, we talked just a little bit about husbands and wives can best work together both inside and outside the home. Now, you have some great thoughts from the Better Business Bureau on how to better sell online and avoid being ripped off. And of course, finally, we just heard a good word from John Maxwell on the word advance, how we are to keep going through the difficulties. Well, that wraps up our wrap-up. And I want to thank you again for being with us today. Please, and one more time, please remember to check out our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. That is www.christianfinancialministries.org. And when you check out the website, well, you are now going to find some information on all of the live and virtual seminars and workshops and John Maxwell leadership training that are going to be on the books beginning in January of next year. Plus, you will also find each one of our radio programs posted on the website as a podcast. So you will now be able to go back and review and even download any of the radio programs anytime you want. It's a good thing. So check out our website. Now, as always, what I'd like to do would be to close us in prayer. Father, I thank you again for bringing us together again today and for each of the days yet to come. To your glory, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we are going to see you next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom, God's way.